You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.
We're going to look at something slightly different. This is going to be the last sermon in this series about the tongue, and then we're going to move on. But let's jump straight into the text, James 3. I'm going to start reading in verse 8. The Bible says, I'm going to kind of start where I ended last week. But no man can tame the tongue. It is unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse man, who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives? Can a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt, water, and fresh. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your anointing. We pray, Father, that you would come down here by your Holy Spirit. Father, we have full confidence that you're building your church, building your people, establishing this ministry to do great things. Father, we desire to take ground. Father, I pray most of all that Jesus be magnified and God's people said,
amen.
I want to start by making a statement, and I want to say that this passage of scripture is kind of showing us something is wrong. Something is wrong. You can find something that looks right, it looks genuine. Most of you will know that this series that we've been in this year, we're going through the whole book of James. In the whole year, we just go through the book of James from the Bible. And we've called it genuine disciple, meaning a genuine follower of Christ, a genuine Christian. And I've pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed that thing. So by the end of this year, you will just have that embedded, tattooed upon your spirit, your mind, and your heart. We've got to be genuine. But you can look genuine. Everything can look good. How many know when we come to church, everybody looks good? So everybody looks good in church. That's just power. That's just the way it is. And most of us in church, you know, the three P's: preach, praying, praise. And so most of us can do that. We can use our mouth. And some of you here, you could sing, and you're singing these songs, "Wrap Me in Your Arms," and your arms are lifted to God, and you were singing it, and you was in the spirit. Preaching, we can put you on the street or get you in the pulpit and you would preach, pray. We could ask you to open in prayer and you will just go on and on and on and on and on. And at the end, it was so powerful. Everyone was clapping their hands. And so we can do those things. And we can think, you know what, that person is, yeah, that's a good person, man. We can use our mouths for encouragement. You could be someone that when someone is always in a situation, you draw alongside them and you encourage them. How many thank God for the encouragers? That when you're going through something, they can come alongside you and speak those words. They know those key scriptures to send you at that moment in time. They can, people that can send encouraging texts. You like those texts or like a little image of a sunset and it's all things work together for the good. And you see those encouraging texts. They can do those. People that are able to do Bible studies and teach people. Or you find that person in the Bible study that has all the answers or knows all the questions, or that sister that's deeper than most of the bros. We're swiftly moving on. Some of you guys didn't like that one. Truth hurts. Anyway, you could have a powerful testimony. There's nothing like a powerful testimony when someone gets up and they start telling their testimony. Real powerful, what they used to be, what they were involved in, what they were doing. They, you know, they did this and they were doing that. And you think, could people like that get saved? And at the end, you know, Jesus came into my life and I don't do that no more. And I don't go to those places. No. And we're all, amen, hallelujah, we're all in the spirit. You can do all of those things with your mouth. And we can think, what a man of God, what a woman of God. And you can be doing those things and you can start to feel very good about yourself. But can I say to you, even though you're doing all of those things, there still can be something wrong. I don't know if I've mentioned this before. It's a story I've put in different sermons. But I always remember this guy coming to my, me and this guy, we lived in a council flat in Vauxhall. And he came and he says he was selling Ralph Lauren shirts. And I was like, yeah, I'll have some of that. And he was like, yeah, I can sell this for like £10, I think we bought these shirts for. And they had the Ralph Lauren label on the back. They had the little tassel or label string on it. It had Ralph Lauren on a plastic bag. And so I bought one, he bought one. And I remember wearing it. And one day someone said, why is that horse only got one leg? What's wrong? And I said, yeah, I still wore it with pride. Amen. You only noticed when you came up close. It looked good, but there was something wrong. It looked genuine, but there was something wrong. The Bible is showing us in this text, he's saying this. He's saying, we bless God and Father, and we curse man. He's saying that the tongue can be used. He's saying, out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. Something is wrong. When out of the mouth, out of the same mouth, all these blessings, praise, praying, preaching, Bible studies, testimonies, teaching, encouragement is coming out of our mouth. And out of the same mouth then comes cursing. He's saying there's something wrong when there's something else coming out of your mouth. Look at someone and say, there's something wrong. Listen, there's something wrong when it's all good. And you're like, hey, listen, preacher. Hold up, because I encourage people. I pray. Listen, preacher, I praise. I'm here for praise and worship. I'm serious. I'm fine with that. Very good. That's good. But the problem is there's something else. There's something else coming out. When you're not in church, there's other words coming out of your mouth. When you go home, there's something else coming out of your mouth. When you are angry and frustrated, when things don't go your way, at that point, you're not saying the same thing you were saying in church. When you get angry and frustrated, or you're at home or you're alone, things that are coming, the peas are not coming out of your mouth. Or not that pea anyway. There's a whole nother pea. It's not about praising and preaching anymore. It's not about encouraging words coming out your mouth anymore. It's not about teaching the Bible and let's go to the scriptures and look at the meaning of this anymore. It's not about the testimony. I used to be this and I used to be that. And now I'm not that anymore. I don't go there no more. I don't say that no more. I don't do that no more. When you're not in church, when you're around others, when you're angry, when you're frustrated, the Bible's saying that things can come out of your mouth. There should not be these two different things coming out of the same mouth. They bless God and curse man. When wicked words come out of your mouth, hateful, harmful words, there's something wrong. When vindictive, spiteful words are being spoken, you can think, well, you know what? I'm okay because yesterday I was in church. I was praying and singing songs. The Bible says, no. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. He says, there's something wrong when there's two different things coming out of one mouth. Oh, no, I was praising last night, and now I'm Sunday afternoon, you're talking about the things of God. By Sunday night, there's a whole other thing coming out of your mouth. Can I say God is not into that? God don't like sweet and sour. God don't like sweet and sour. He don't want sweet and sour pork. He don't want sweet and sour chicken. He don't want sweet and sour King Pong rice. And he don't want sweet and sour tongue. He doesn't want sweet and sour Christians. He's not into that. He wants one thing coming out of your mouth. You're like, oh no, you know, but I look good. How many ever heard of that story? I don't know what it's called, but Red Riding Hood. I don't know if that's what it's called, but I know that's the character in it. And I don't remember all the details, but I remember Red Riding Hood, and I remember she goes, there's a wolf in it. And so she goes to Grandma's house, and the wolf is eating Grandma. And then the wolf is dressed up in Grandma's clothes. That wolf is a demon, man. Some cannibal transvestite, nasty wolf. I don't know what that wolf was thinking, but the wolf is dressed up in the grandma's clothes, got the grandma's wig on, and Red Riding Hood comes, and so the wolf is there lying in bed pretending that he is the she. And so she's like, and you remember in the story, I can't remember all the facts, but the Red Riding Hood, hey, grandma, it's grandma, but it's not grandma. Grandma, what big eyes you have. Remember that? All the better to see you with. He's looking, grandma, looking. No. Them eyes are just too big, man. That nose, your ears, man. And he says, you know what? What big teeth you have. What sharp teeth you have, grandma. Oh, and then I think it's all better to eat you with. But just because the wolf dressed up in the grandma's clothes, that don't make the wolf the grandma. And there are people that have put on church and dressed up like a Christian. You've put on church and you dress up like a Christian. But then you go home and your family know you're a Christian, and your wife and your husband know you're a Christian, and your kids know you're a Christian, and you look like a Christian. You've got the Christian wig and you just dress up like a Christian and you come home. But when you open your mouth, your family say, wow, you look and sound a bit like a Christian, but what sharp words you have. There's something not right here. And the Bible says these two things can't come out of the same mouth. See, we need to get to the heart of the problem. Look at someone say, we've got to get to the heart of the problem. We need to go straight there. A few years ago, we had a power cut in our flat. And so we couldn't turn the light on. I think we had an electric cooker. We couldn't cook. And so it's not a major thing, I guess, when you have a power cut. You can kind of get by with it for a few days if it was just that long. And so you can, you know, at the daytime, you open the windows, you don't need the lights on anyway. And then, you know, you can get candles and torch and that. But the problem with our flat is that when the power wasn't just in our flat, it was our whole block. And in our block, what they use is a pump, an electric pump, to get the water round the block. And so when the power went out in the block, there was no running water. Now that becomes a big issue. Now when I say that to you, you think, no, listen, because you can't bath. And to some of you single guys, you're like, yeah, a few days. But for the rest of us... But not only that, you can't bath, we couldn't flush the toilet. Exactly, yeah. Luckily, we found out before, you know, we figured it out. Amen. Anyway, let's go. Let's move on. The problem, it's no good me getting angry with the tap. It wasn't the tap. It was at the source. It's not the tap. And many times, we got to go to the heart of the matter. The problem is upstream. This is where it is. The problem is upstream. Let's just say this is upstream. This speaker is upstream. This is where the water comes, and I don't know where it's coming from, but just imagine it's coming here. It's running down from the hills and the rain, and it comes down, and the stream comes down. And this is where you are. And so this is where you usually drink from the stream. And you're drinking from the water, and you're like, this is my water. This is where I wash my clothes. This is where I drink. This is where I cook my food. But let's say up here, a dead animal climbs in and died into the stream. They say that something is destroyed, is poisonous or septic or unclean that's got into the stream up here. And as that is infecting the water up here, that infected water is only going to run down. And it's running down, and then one day you get up and you taste it. Ah, there's something wrong here. This water has become bitter. This water has become poison. You could try to clean this water. You can do. Listen, it's not going to change. You've got to go to the source of the problem. You've got to go a few days' journey. You've got to go upstream. And then you realize, aha, look, there's a problem here. Once you remove that problem, once again, fresh water is going to run and it's going to come out and it's going to be flowing here. Let me tell you this. Upstream is the heart. Upstream is your heart. See, what's coming out of your mouth is only flowing from your heart. And when there is things that are coming out of your mouth that are not right, it's really coming from your heart. The problem is upstream. I've read this scripture before. Luke 6:45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. So if this is upstream, when this is good, down here is good. This is what the Bible says. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. When the heart is evil and infected, what flows out down here is evil and infected. This is what the Bible is saying. It's saying it's the issue with your heart. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. See, this is what the problem is. Many of us are trying to fix our speech at the source. We're trying to change downstream. We need to go to the heart. We need to go to the heart of the problem. See, down, what do I mean by fixing it? People, they keep saying the wrong things, doing the wrong things, and I'm just not going to talk anymore. You ever heard someone say, I'm just not going to talk to them anymore? How you doing, bro? That can't work. How many of that ain't going to work? You can't do that. Or what you do is another way of fixing it downstream. You blame others. Yeah, if they never said this to me, if they didn't do that to me, it's them. It's the circumstance. I got a lot on at the moment. I got a lot of pressure going on at the moment. You don't know what I'm going through at the moment. This is why I did it. No. Because the Bible says, if there's good here, the good flows here, and it doesn't matter what pressure is here, good will come out. Good will come out. This is what the Bible says. You need to go to the source. The source is the heart. The reason why they're saying what you're saying is because of the heart. No, Pastor, no, listen, it's what I'm going through. When people are bad to me, it comes out bad. They pushed me, they provoked me, they made me. Should we listen to Jesus? Should we listen to Jesus? I don't know. It just came to my mind. It's Wednesday. It's church. Let's listen to Jesus. Matthew 5:44. This is Jesus speaking. But I say to you, love your enemies. That means, and think about enemy. Someone who's against you, wants to tear you down, destroy you. Jesus says, love them. Bless those who curse you. When someone curses you, I hate you. Look at you. You worthless, no good, good for nothing, waste man, idiot. Be blessed, brother. But this is what Jesus said. Jesus says, bless those that curse you. Haven't ever been cursed. I've been cursed. Do good to those who hate you. I hate you. Would you like a cup of tea? Let me to help you out. Do you need me to borrow you some money? This is real Christianity. Yeah. This is where the rubber meets the road. Yeah. Pray for those that spitefully use you and persecute you. Pray for them. Out of your mouth. You've been persecuted. You've been, they're using you. They're treating you bad. The pressure is on. Father, bless them. He says that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even tax collectors do the same. He's saying do not even people that are living a life which is unrighteous just do the same. You know what Jesus is saying? Jesus is saying, I don't care how people treat you. Not that he doesn't care, like he's not going to care for you. He cares for you, but he doesn't care if you make it an excuse. He still doesn't. Oh, that's why bitter and sweet is coming out of your mouth. That's why you was praising God last night, but now you're swearing this morning. Oh, because they said that to you. Jesus said, oh, no problem. That's fine. Keep on going. More power. Go on with your bad self. No, Jesus is not going to say that. He's going to say, I don't care. What is in your heart comes out. He says, bitter and sweet, blessing and cursing should not come out of the same mouth. I was thinking about this, why bitter words Can I say to you today, bitter words come from bitterness of the heart. Bitter words come from bitterness of the heart. There are many people in the Bible that were bitter. You know, you go through some tough things in life. If you've read the book of Ruth, you know about Naomi. She lost her husband, lost her sons. Had to move back, go back to her country, a widow. When they call her, she says, no, don't call me by that name anymore. Call me by Myra. She's saying bitterness. She says, call me bitter now. That's what you want to call me now. Because listen, tough times, experiences that we go through, it can get us bitter. The Bible speaks of a bitter man in 2 Samuel 16, verse 5. Let me read this. And when King David came to Abiram, there was a man from the family of the house of Saul. Now this is after Saul is dead, Saul's sons are dead, King Saul is no longer around, David is king, but David has had beef with his son, and so David has had to leave where he's staying. But the Bible says, it goes on and it says, the man's name from the house of Saul was Shimei, the son of Gera. Coming from there, he came out cursing continuously as he came, and he threw stones at David and all the servants of King David and all the people and the mighty men that were his right hand and his left. Also Shimei said thus when he cursed, come out, you bloodthirsty man, you rogue. Here is King David, he's having to leave because if there's a war and beef with his son and all this politics is going on. And as he's leaving his place, the Bible says there's this man Shimei, and he's from the house of Saul. And he's bitter now because Saul died. And Saul's sons died. And now Saul was king and now David is king. And this man is bitter. And so he's throwing stones at King David, saying, get out of here. He's cursing him. The bitterness of the situation has now set in, and now cursing is coming out of his mouth. It's not David's fault. If you know your Bible, David didn't kill King Saul. King Saul died in a battle. He was wounded in a battle and he made his armor bearer stab him. If you remember the story, when the man killed King Saul, he came to David and he said, hey, I've killed King David. King David said, listen, how dare you raise your hand against God's anointed? And they kill him. David did not want Saul to die, even though Saul was trying to kill King David. It wasn't King David's fault. But listen, when you're bitter, when you're angry, when you're frustrated, when life has dealt you some blows, that bitterness in your heart is going to come out. The beauty of it is that one of the guys with David says, listen, David, who is this guy cursing you? He says, who's this guy? He says, he's a dead dog. Let me just lick off his head. That's what he says to David. Let me just come and lick off the head one time. That was the Pastor Lowe translation. And David said, listen, don't talk like that. I don't want this beef carrying on. Listen to what David says in verse 12 of chapter 16. It may be that the Lord will look upon my affliction and that the Lord will repay him with, sorry, and that the Lord will repay me with good for this cursing this day. Even when he was cursing, you know the thing I love about David? You don't see no bitterness in this man. You never see this man bitter. You never see this man acting like this. See, there are things that people have gone through. Maybe you've gone through some tough times. Family, friends, men, women have done things to you, and inside you're hurting, you're wounded. And the problem is that bitterness has gone inside of your heart and it's there, it's been lurking there. And from time to time, what's going to come out of your mouth is cursing. Bitter words, hurtful words, harmful words, destructive words. And it's all to do with a bitterness. I was thinking about, this culture that we have, this inner city, you can call it what you want, road culture. I think that's what the people call it now. In my day, it was ghetto culture. But it's a culture of bitterness. It's a culture of bitterness. Let me tell you why. The music, the speech of the music, swearing. Why so angry all the time? Think about it, the music. Why so angry all the time? Even when it's a love song, it's not really a love song. Of the music of this time. The what? Man don't know me. Man don't know me. Come around here. You're going to get fit. Chop off your ear. Dun, dun, dun. Grimy, yeah, slimy, cut you down, bust you out, kick you out. These are my ends. I don't need no friends. What was that in my days? If that's not bitter, what's bitter? I'm gonna shoot you and shank you and stab you and maim you and what's that? That's, think of the name, Stabber. Roughneck and all that other thing. We have a culture of bitterness. We've turned bitterness into a culture. The music, the way that we speak about women, that's bitterness. Listen, I don't glorify this poverty culture. I don't glorify it. Listen, I am what I am. I talk the way I talk. Born and raised in South London my whole life. I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not ashamed of the way I talk or who I am. But listen, I'm not identifying with this poverty, ghetto, bitter spirit. What do we have in our culture? Haters. Think about it. What is a hater? A hater is you see someone driving a nice car. You see someone wearing a nice suit. You see someone living in a nice house. You see someone doing well for themselves and excelling, and you want to pull them down. That's what bitterness does. That's bitter. There's no reason. Why can't you be successful? Why can't you be happy for them? Oh, wonderful. Oh, bro, man, I'm happy for you. Nice car. No, we've termed it. We're so used to seeing it, we've actually coined it. It's a hater. You have this attitude. We have this. If that's not bitter, what is bitter? Why is your face like that? Why? It's 90 degrees, the hottest summer that we've ever had, and you're still walking around with a hood on. You're walking, going nowhere, but you're always looking back. This attitude, people bring into the church. This attitude. This ghetto attitude, yeah. What? No. No. Every time you speak, This has to crinkle. No. We just asked you. Would you like a cup of tea? No. Are you hungry? No. Are you tired? No. Are you angry? No. Why do you do that? Why do you do that? Listen, it's a bitterness of spirit. This bitterness we've created. We've gone through so many trials and tribulations and difficulties at home or in our family or in society that now we're just bitter at everything. And what this is a root of bitterness. The Bible says, Hebrews 12:15, look carefully, lest any fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up and cause you trouble, a root of bitterness. I remember when I lived in Southwark, just off Wharf Road, I had a place, it had a garden, but it was paved. And there was one time I saw this little plant coming out of the crack of the pavement in the corner by the brick wall. And I'm not a gardener. I'd never had a garden before. And I just left it. I hardly ever went out there. I was busy working, fellowshipping, preaching, doing. I'm a disciple. But I remember next summer it was massive. And so I chop it down and I tried to pull it out. I couldn't pull it out. The roots had gone so deep. You can't just pull it up now. The roots, the Bible says there is a root of bitterness. that it goes into us and it feels so tough to get out. Because somebody said something, or someone didn't say, or someone hurted you, or someone violated you, or someone caused you difficulty, or your life has gone through things, or maybe like Shimei, you've lost someone died, or someone close to you has left you, or something has gone, you've gone through some things, and now it's seeped into your heart. Be very careful about bringing bitterness into your marriage. See, Colossians 3 verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Give thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit to your own husbands as it is fitting in the Lord. Listen, a bitter woman finds it very hard to submit. No? No, I don't. You do, come on. You got attitude. It's very hard to a woman has just got attitude all the time. A man, how does a man work with that woman? Constantly got attitude, constantly living. You try to tell her anything, she won't hear it. You know, I like to be optimistic, but I tell you this now, listen, if you've got bad attitude, it's going to be difficult for you. Bible says, husbands, listen to this. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter towards them. The Bible is warning, saying that there's a bitterness that can come in within marriage, where the husband starts to become bitter against his wife. What does that look like, Pastor? This is when the husband starts to look at the wife, and everything the wife does wrong, he no longer sees it as, she's just human. She's a woman, she's different than me. She's deliberately doing it. She got up today and deliberately. She's been sitting up all night trying to destroy me. You've grown bitter. You're bitter against your wife. No, she did that because she's human. Because she's a sinner, saved by grace. But I told her 100 and... Listen, Jesus has to tell you 1 billion times and you still ain't done it. And Jesus is God. She don't listen to me. Listen, we don't listen to God. And you got to be so careful that bitterness, wife, and bitterness, husband, doesn't seep in. See what it is? It's like a poison. You've been poisoned. When I was in Benin, I told you I had food poisoning. Listen, you do not want to have food poisoning. Anyway, praise God. I don't want to upset nobody. But I was just racist. Listen, I'm not racist, man. But you just don't want to be. Listen, it was just tough out there, man. You do not want to have food poisoning. Had Chinese. Some special chicken. Something chow mein. And I go to the hotel. The pastor picks me up at 6 to go and preach. The service is going to be at 7. I get in the car. Pastor, I don't feel well, you know. He said, you don't feel well? I don't feel well at all. Let's go chemist. I go in the chemist. While I'm in the chemist, I'm like, listen. All out on the street. Just out on the street like that. Had to get it out. Had to get it out. Had to come out. Go to the church. I said, all right, for a while. In the church, run to the toilet. Had to get it out. Go back to the hotel. See, because I'd been poisoned. That's what it is, food poisoning. I'd been poisoned. Something had gone into me that was affecting me. It's funny that in our text it says, but no man can tame the tongue. It is unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. See, when you've got bitterness inside of you, you have to keep bringing it back up. You keep bringing it back up. You ever sat down with someone? No, I won't bring it up again. Okay, praise God. I forgive you, you forgive me. We'll never bring it up again. Why are they bringing it up again? They can't help it. Because there's something in the heart. You can't help bringing it. You could have said to me, bro, man, that's nasty, man. Don't get sick outside. I can't help it. I've been poisoned. There's something inside that has to come out. And they keep bringing it up and bringing it up and bringing it up. And it could have happened 10 minutes ago. It could have happened 10 days ago. It could have happened 10 months or 10 years or 10,000 years. They will still bring it up. And they promised, I'll never bring this up again. And when they said it, they meant it. But when you're sick, when you're bitter, when something has got inside of you, it's out of your control now. It's out of your control. There are people that have been hurt, and this is why they gossip. You ever wonder why people gossip? Why do we gossip? What's gossip? Gossip don't make you no money. Some people, if gossip did, they'd be rich. Some people in this church could buy this building five times over. Gossip don't make you no money. Gossip is like vomit. I saw a tweet the other day. It said, listening to gossip is like eating another man's vomit. Exactly. Let me close with this. Healing words. Ephesians 4 verse 30. I read this, I think, 2 weeks ago. But it's timeless. And it is a remedy for our hearts. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. But what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace into the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, for whom you have been sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, that's like just making noise, angry, raging, evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Three things. I'm going to close. We're going to pray. Three things to help you deal with this. You want to be healed. First of all, is confession. Amen. He says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Confession. You've got to call it corruption. You've got to say, this is wrong. What I'm saying, what I said, that's wrong. And I'm not just talking about words. I'm talking about, because we live in a technological age, some of the texts. Let me tell you this now. This is what amazes me. How do you argue by text? See, I'm an old boy. I'm 41. I don't understand. Yeah. How do you, seriously, how do you do that? Like if I argue with someone, no, you sharp. What are you doing when you're texting? How do you? Maybe that's why some of you, your iPhone is cracked. He was angry with someone, arguing. No, back at you. Listen, there's something wrong when you can argue over text. You're out of control when you argue in a group. You argue in a group? Anyway, you need to confess. It's wrong. It's sin. Everyone say it's sin. We've got to confess it. Listen, until we confess it's wrong, we'll never change. We're never going to change until you say, you know what, those words I said was wrong. How do I know if they're wrong? Okay. Are they bitter? Are they wrath, anger, clamor, evil? Are they of malice? Did they bring edification and grace? No. Yeah. First is confess. Second is repent. He says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Then he says, put away from yourself. You can do it. Once you confess something, there is so much power in confession. See, when the Bible speaks about confession, it's not talking about going into a box where there's a guy next to you with a skirt on or dress, some pope or priest. That's not Bible. Listen, Jesus never put no one in no box next to him. That's not in the Bible. That's man-made nonsense. The word confession just means call it what it is. God says that's wrong, you say it's wrong. Once you say that is wrong, there's power in it. See, whatever you do not judge, you start to embrace. If you will not identify it, it becomes mentally, spiritually harder to be broken from it. Once you judge it, once you speak out and say, this is wrong, you confess. You confess to God, then you confess to maybe those around you. I apologize. I'm sorry. I should have never said that to you. I'm sorry. Then you can repent. You can turn from it. It's not enough just to be sorry. We've got to turn. He says, don't let it happen. Then he says, like I said, put away from you. He says, put it away. Put it away. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Don't leave it. Repent. That's what repentance is. He says, take it off. How many times you read in the Bible, it says, take off the old man with his works. Take it off. Take it off. Get rid of it. And then the next thing is replace it. So you confess, you turn from it, which is repent, and you replace. He says, you need to speak these words, kind words, tender-hearted words, forgiving words. This is what we need to speak, kind words. Like I said, this is hard for us because culture, this modern inner-city London culture, it doesn't exalt kindness, but we all want it. Tender-hearted forgiveness. And he says this, your forgiveness is just like how God forgave you in Christ. The problem many times why we do not change is we have a wrong concept of the gospel. And bear with me for a second as I explain the issues of the gospel. Sometimes people think, oh, I'm going to do good to you, so you do good to me. And so, Pastor, I did good to them, but they still didn't do good to me. This is what the Bible says. The Bible says we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single person in this place has sinned. You have sinned. You are guilty. I am guilty under God's standard. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Meaning we've all earned our place in hell. Every single one of us. But the hope in that scripture is this. But the gift of God is eternal life. So there's two things here. There's either you earn hell or you have heaven as a gift. You can't earn heaven. You can't earn heaven. You earn. The only thing that man has earned is God's judgment by his sinful behavior. So that means this. When you find it hard to forgive someone else, remember, you've had to be forgiven. You had to be forgiven. When you think they haven't earned my forgiveness yet, remember, you haven't earned forgiveness from God. You got forgiveness as a gift. And whenever you give someone forgiveness, it's a gift. They don't deserve my forgiveness. No, they may not. But it's a gift. See, when you won't forgive people, you don't know what you don't understand the gospel. When you start to think, no, but I've been doing good. I'm a good person. I'm a good man. I'm a good... No. You don't understand the gospel. You were never good enough. We could give you a billion years and you still wouldn't do enough good to earn your way back into God's favor. Because the Bible says even our good deeds are like filthy rags. Jesus had to come down and die on the cross so that we could be forgiven. It's by grace. It's by grace. I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to be kind to you. I'm going to be loving to you. Christ has died. That bitter heart has been taken and put on the cross. Christ has died. Christ has given me a new heart. See, in Christ I have a new heart because I'm a new creation. Because the Bible says all things have become new in Christ. I have a new heart, not a bitter heart anymore. And for those that are really going to struggle to forgive, listen to what Jesus says. Luke 23, verse 34. This is Jesus hanging on a cross, experiencing the most painful death any man can experience. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And they divided his garments and cast lots. Jesus is on the cross. He's going through the most painful death. And he's looking at the very people that put him there. Pastor, you don't know what they did to me. Did they put you on a cross? Have they nailed for your feet and your hands? Have they whipped and kicked you? Did you make them, design them? Did you breathe into them breath? The very tree that they made the wood out, God designed it. Jesus made it. The very hill they crucified him on, Jesus made it. The very air they breathed, the very muscles, the very saliva that they used to spit at him, the very iron that they got from the ground, God made it. Jesus made it. And they put it all together, what he made, and inflicted such a severe pain on him. And he's there. And he could have wiped them out. He could have blinked his eye and they would have all gone. He could have come off the cross and none of us would have been redeemed. But he says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Can you be like that? This is what Jesus is calling us to. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by this sermon to reach the lost, make disciples. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.